In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
the iniquity of our sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, of Aaron. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. Behold how good and pleasant it is. Lord be with you. Let us bow in prayer. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were all cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
Our epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news and was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all of these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. And now let us join together in confessing our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, you know, we often miss things in the Bible. And, you know, we get used to the stories. And we sometimes fail to notice some important things. And, of course, we can be excused for a lot of that. But especially here in the wake of Easter, the resurrection, I want us to look at a few things with that. For one thing, we see here on the road to Emmaus this interesting interaction Jesus has with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Of course, the first question I have is, why are they going to Emmaus? And I think that the best answer to that is that, of course, they think, well, so much for that. You know, we thought Jesus was going to be really something, and he ended up getting crucified. Well, I guess we'll go home, wherever home is. I don't know if it's in Emmaus. It's also a route to go back to Galilee. That's one of the routes you can go. So, but Jesus comes and appears to them and illuminates the Old Testament scriptures to them about the Messiah and appears to them and the breaking of the bread. And all of that. Do you remember who, they only give the name of the one. Do you remember who, what his name is? Cleopas. Doesn't mean a whole lot. But, you know, that's one of those things we kind of miss. Do you realize that the name Cleopas appears someplace else in the New Testament? Anybody have any idea about that? Well, his wife appears. Let me just tell you here what it says. Cleopas' wife, Mary, was with Jesus on the cross. John 19:25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So okay, not only that, but, you know, something is not in the Bible, but the ancient church historian Eusebius records, and he's actually quoting an older church authority from early second century, wherein he says, well, the reason is that Cleopas is named is because back then, people understand what's going on here. Okay, the first leader of the Jerusalem church after Jesus was James, Jesus' brother. Now, either half-brother or step-brother, we don't know, but okay, that, when he gets martyred years later, the second leader of the church in Jerusalem was Simeon, we're told. He was the son of Cleopas, the cousin of Jesus. And so Cleopas, it appears, is Jesus' uncle on Mary's side. It's Mary's brother. And his wife, Mary, appears to be, you know, Jesus' mother's sister-in-law, Mary. Obviously, you don't usually name two girls Mary in the same family. Although, I guess George Foreman named all of his sons George, but yeah. I don't think that's usually what you did, especially back then. So, you know, kind of interesting the things that you pick up on, and you must, you know, we especially with the resurrection, I think too often, especially people that don't pay attention to the Bible, don't read it, or if they're just thinking about Easter, if you ask most people that especially that aren't very versed in the Bible, you know, maybe don't have a lot of faith, you know, well, who did Jesus appear to? And I think a lot of people would probably say, well, let's see, I think there was a woman he appeared to. You know, you think the first thing that may come to mind is like Mary Magdalene, right? Or you might think, well, yeah, Jesus appeared to, I guess, the 11 on Easter Sunday. And so that's who he appeared to, resurrected. And you know, is so much farther expansive than that, isn't it? How, of course, we're people of faith. We know most of these answers, although sometimes we get surprised because we get used to reading it. We kind of, you know how it is. You kind of read over passages of the Bible, and you're so used to reading it, you kind of don't see things. How many people saw Jesus resurrected, do you think? Do you remember a verse that all talks about that? Or how about this? How long did people see him resurrected? I think a lot of people think that it's just Easter. Okay, we had Easter. Jesus was resurrected. He appeared to a few people. That's the end of that. No, of course, Jesus taught his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection, didn't he? And we have a more extensive list of who Jesus appeared to from the Apostle Paul. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, Paul says, Jesus appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, of course, and then to the 12, or what's left of them, the 11, and that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, at the same time. Most of whom are still living, Paul says, at that time when he's writing that, though some have fallen asleep, in other words, some have died, but most of them are still alive at that point. Then he appeared to James, Jesus' brother, then to all the apostles. Now see, there's the, you notice he's saying apostles, not just the 11. The apostles, remember, there's 70 other, I mean, there's a total of 70. You have these different groups of Jesus. You've got his three inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and then you've got the 12, and then you've got the 70, right, who were sent out to minister. So you've got the 70, and last of all, it says he appeared to be as one abnormally born. So start doing the numbers here, and you're talking about, boy, this looks like this is a lot of people over a lot of days. I mean, we're talking about 40 days. And even the number of people who saw the tomb or that were at the cross is more than we think of. Because usually the Gospels, they're not doing a head count. They're mentioning a person or a small group of people that's really important, but they're not mentioning everyone. They're just, you know, they're just, it's kind of an aside. And so between the four Gospels, you get a fuller account of who all is there. And you start getting, well, you know, some of the accounts are that you've got this whole big group of people that came from Galilee, which makes sense at Passover when Jesus is crucified. Everybody's there for Passover. Those villages in Galilee are emptying out of people. They're coming down to Jerusalem. You got massive numbers, and talks about there were a lot of women who came with Jesus who were there. And you start to put together the passage and you see, well, all the Marys, too many Marys, right? There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and there's Mary Magdalene, and then there's Mary, the sister-in-law of Mary, Jesus' mother, and then you've got Joanna. Remember Joanna? And that whole bunch of other people. You've got a whole bunch of people. Or you just even think about, okay, Jesus ascends. After his 40 days after the resurrection, he ascends. And then you ask the question, well, how many people were gathered together in the upper room praying, you know, waiting for the day of Pentecost, waiting another week for the Holy Spirit to come down upon them? And you know, our default response is, well, let's see, there's the 11 disciples. I guess that's who we kind of have in our mind. Do you realize it was a lot more than that? And there's a passage that I don't know how many times I've read in my life it never registered with me. Isn't that a sad thing? I don't think I stopped before I was 50. You know, it's like I've been reading this thing for 40 years, and somehow it never registered. Isn't it amazing? Because, you know, in Acts chapter 1, listen to this. This is with the ascension. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended from, And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas, son of James. In other words, the 11, right? But then this is what never registered very well with me. These all were steadfastly continuing in one accord in prayer with who? With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in these days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether a number totaling 120. Wow! It's not 11, it's 120. Of course, we tend to take notice of Peter's speech. You know, that was our first scripture reading, don't we? We take notice of that. That then, when the day of Pentecost comes, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him, looks like it's descending upon, what, not 11, not 12, but 120, then Peter, he goes out there and, filled with the Holy Spirit, of course, preaches, and it says, that day, 3,000 come to faith in Jesus Christ. 3,000 one day. So you, in 50 days from Jesus' crucifixion, you remember the cross. I mean, you do have the women there, and you have the disciple John there, who's probably the youngest disciple, but may not have a lot of other people. Most of the 11 are all kind of in hiding, right? They're going, I don't really think I want to be crucified too, I think. And they think the jig is up, and so they're all in hiding. There's actually a passage that talks about that. And so there's not too many there, but you go from that where there's virtually no one there and everybody thinks it's all over, including like Cleopas and the other person here on the road to Emmaus. They seem to think it's... And you go from that to over 3,000 having faith in Jesus 50 days later. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Word of God. It's the power of the gospel. You know, isn't that amazing? That's part of what we should remember in the Easter season, isn't it? The power, how many people saw Jesus, and how amazing this all is. And then if you go further out, you start reading about the book of Acts and the letters of Paul, and you start thinking about all the people that start to come. Isn't it amazing? Well, for instance, Paul and Barnabas, they're on their first missionary journey. The first place they go to is Cyprus. And they end up ministering to the Roman legate, the Roman governor of Cyprus. And he comes to faith. Very quickly, you start making inroads into the hierarchy of the Roman Empire. It's truly remarkable. And it looks like Paul and Barnabas even changed their plans on the first missionary journey, because guess where the governor's from? He's from Pisidian Antioch, and that's where they changed their plans to go to. And I think that's why John Mark decided, I don't want to go. They went to Pisidian Antioch because the governor of Cyprus is from there, and he became a believer, and he gave them probably letters of introduction. And so he went. So the gospel spreads. The power of the gospel, the power of the Spirit, the power of the resurrection. That's what we're looking at today. That's what a lot of our passages are about. It's about the day 3,000 come to faith by the power of the Spirit. It's about all these hundreds who see Jesus resurrected. This is not something this man made, is it? Obviously, it's from God. So let us stand and live in the power of God. Amen. Now let us continue to worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us bow in prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. That we may perceive Christ who expounded the Scriptures and revealed Himself in the breaking of the bread, that we may rejoice in the gifts of His salvation, let us pray to the Lord. That our piety may be renewed this Easter tide, and that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, let us pray to the Lord. That the God of all compassion, whose Spirit opens the Holy Scriptures, would enlighten this congregation with the resurrection light and never fades, let us pray to the Lord. For all parents, that God would continue to pour out His Spirit upon them to catechize their children faithfully in His Word, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and the world, that the powers of darkness would be stifled and that the reign of war, violence, and terror come to an end. For our leaders, that they would work for the common good and pursue righteousness. For Joseph, our president, the Congress of the United States, Lord, we lift up to you our governor and all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, and all members of the armed forces. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who suffer and cry to God, that He would hear them and answer with grace sufficient for all their needs. And for the sick, the wounded, and the dying, especially this day, O Lord, we do lift up to you Jeff and Jerry, Annie, Pastor Scott and Judy, Robert, Alfred, Sandra, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, and Lars, and all the other people, Lord, we have in our hearts and on our minds that we have not listed to you verbally, but we lift them all up to you. Let us pray to the Lord. That we would know Christ and His compassion through the breaking of the bread, and that our hearts and mouths would be open to receive forgiveness through the body and blood of Christ who suffered for us and has entered His glory. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us when we are foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about your Son. Pour out your Spirit on us through the preaching of the gospel, that the Scriptures might be opened to us through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name forever, praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night on which he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, in which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Let us bow in prayer. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore that You of Your mercy that You would strengthen us through the same in faith towards You and in fervent love towards one another, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace.